Everything's wrong with the universe. Accepting change is hard. Everything's bad and it's getting worse, but not in my backyard.
Well, hello. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Find a seat. Thank you for coming out on this very cold evening. It's freezing out there.
It is cold. Yeah. How's everybody doing tonight? Thank you guys for coming. We've got a really fun show tonight.
Yeah, well, let's introduce ourselves.
Let's do that, yeah.
My name is Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd. We are a married couple.
Yeah.
We are obsessed with local news and politics.
We are.
And we like to hang out with friends and talk about it, and then we decided to turn it into a show. So this is not in my backyard. It's where we debate all the local issues that are causing drama in neighborhood Facebook groups all over the city.
Yeah, we don't want you to have to go on Facebook because it is a soul-sucking experience. So we go on, we find out what people are talking about, and we tell you about it.
That's right. So we've got a lot of really funny guests tonight, actors, journalists, comedians. Some people are all three. But first, we like to quiz our audience on your New York City knowledge because we have a very smart audience always.
How many native New Yorkers do we have in the crowd?
Okay. 40 years.
That counts. We'll accept
those
you
of you who are
fold.
Actual native New Yorkers. Does 40 years count as native New York?
My favorite is when someone's like, I'm a native New Yorker. I live on Long Island now, but...
We are not native New Yorkers. We've lived in the city both for about 25 years, but we are raising two native New Yorkers.
They are.
So that gives us some credit. Okay, here's the first question. This question is for everyone, and I want you to tabulate this in your mind. So, okay. Governor's Ball, the music festival, they just announced their lineup for this summer, and out of the 60-plus artists, I personally only recognized 4 of them. Which made me feel very old. So I'm going to list 10 artists that are either fake names that I made up or real acts that are playing the Governor's Ball Music Festival. Massively popular music festival. 3 days, it'll sell out. And I want you guys to guess how many are real. So I'm going to name 10. So just think in your mind how many you think are real, and then I want you to shout out a number. Okay, here are the names of the bands. You decide if they are real bands playing
this
festival.
I don't know the answer to this,
fake.
By
Cody
the way.
Cody doesn't know. Okay. Old Mervs, The Backfires, Wet Leg, Snow Strippers, Spacey Jane, Jane Remover, Radio Free Alice, Hot Mulligan, Holly Humperstone, and finally, Evening Elephants.
I think they're all fake. Every single
all
one
fake?
Of them is fake.
Seven, three, six, five. We got 3 over here. Another vote for all fake. All real is correct.
No!
They're all real.
Holly Humberstone?
Holly Humberstone is playing Governor's Ball.
What?
Now,
Snow Strippers?
These were mostly small font bands, but still.
Wet leg. That's fun.
Yeah, type wet leg into Spotify. See what happens.
I might get porn. I don't know if I want to do that.
Okay, now we're going to do one more quiz. This is a head-to-head quiz.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what the question is, and we're going to get 2 people up on stage to battle head-to-head and see who knows the most. So the topic is Central Park geography. Here's the question. Don't shout out any answers, but I'm going to give the question. According to the Central Park Conservancy, there are 9 bodies of water in Central Park. Who can name the most? So raise your hand if you want to come on stage. And there is a prize.
There will be
a prize for this. So even if you only know a couple.
Only if you know a couple.
Come on
or you could
come
just say wet leg over and over again.
Who else?
And we'll accept
who else?
That.
We need another competitor.
One more.
Need names. Come on. Somebody else. Somebody else.
You even can name locations. That's close enough. Come on. 40 years?
No one? No one's gonna compete? Okay.
Well.
All right. Let's see. I guess the question was too hard. So tell everybody your name.
Bonnie John.
Bonnie. Name as many as you can name.
Okay. The lake, the pond, the Harlem Mirrors, the.
That's 3. That's good. Any more?
Hey, that's more than anybody else was willing to name.
Okay. The Reservoir.
Reservoir.
Water. Conservancy Water.
Conservancy Water is correct. Okay. And we've got... Ice rink does not count.
Do you have one over here?
Does anybody else want to shout one out?
I thought you were saying you knew one. No. Anyone else know one that we missed?
Walnut
Okay. She said the pond. That's the pond. That's the pond. No, that's the lake. There might be Turtle Pond. Yeah. 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 Okay, let's give it up for Bonnie. Bonnie, your prize is free tickets to our next show. So you have my email address. You can email me.
I feel like Lon Olmstead just came up with like the most basic. Were they just waiting for someone to sponsor those bodies of water? Like,
thank God no one has.
Can we call them Trump Lake and no.
The full answer is the pond, the gill, also known as Azalea Pond, Turtle Pond, the lock, conservatory water, the pool, the reservoir, the lake, and Harlem Mir. Okay.
PSA, we just so everyone knows before we get started, we are off next month. We are a monthly show. We're off next month. But mark your calendars. Our next show is Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m. here at the UCB Theater. And you can follow us on Instagram for more details, NIMBY_show.
All right, are you guys ready to meet our panelists? Let's give it up for them. Please welcome, he's a comedian and speechwriter and the creator of the hit show Abolish Everything. Please welcome Chandler Dean.
He's a Brooklyn-based journalist and co-founder of the New York Groove. Please welcome Tim Donnelly.
She's a comedian from the UCB Theater who you know from HBO's hilarious series, The Chair Company. Please welcome Glo Tavares.
Woohoo! Welcome, welcome. So guys, we discussed, when do you think you become a New Yorker? At what age? How long do you have to be here?
I think it's really, and I'm not saying it's
speech
facetious, when you stop caring about the answer to that question.
Ah!
Tim, is your mic on? Make sure.
Is it on? Let's
you have to everybody make sure their mics are on. Okay, we want to talk.
Check.
Yeah, hey, that's better.
There we go.
All right, we want to talk about the snowstorm first. We haven't had snow in this city like this in maybe 5 years. Some people say 10 since the last one. Really big. Seems like Mamdani is getting a passing grade on the first snowstorm. What does everybody think about the city's response to the first major snowstorm in several years?
I don't know why we're outside. I think it shouldn't be happening. We shouldn't be here. I spent 3 days alone with my dog, and I was like, I'm not lonely. This is what life is supposed to be. So I don't like the response. I think we should have shut down. I think it should be over. I don't know why we're out here. And then this weekend's going to be bad, but because last weekend was bad, I can't stay home this weekend. That's gonna fucking blow.
You think like COVID style lockdowns as soon as it snows?
100%. Every time I'm outside, I'm like, why are this? It's not snow anymore. It's ice out there.
Here's what I agree with you in one capacity, which is people driving. On Sunday during the storm, people were driving around. Like, I thought I was going to get to go out and be like, I get to walk in the middle of Ninth Avenue today because there's the one day there will be no cars in my life. And people were out driving in the middle of it.
Well, to be fair, I had to get to an appointment in Midtown that day, and I couldn't think of a better way to do it, really.
Appointment for what?
For
drugs?
A doctor. It was a private doctor situation. And I do mean a doctor for my privates.
Yeah. Well, I do think it also speaks to like the incredibly pro-car like establishment that's like true in every city, where there is a lot of like reporting like, oh my God, the streets are totally clear, it's fine, but not the sidewalks between the streets. I feel like from this storm that like property owners are responsible for the sidewalks in front of their properties. The city is responsible for the streets, and you can sort of fuck off if you want to get between the two, because that's where everybody piles up all the snow. I don't think that, I'm inclined to give Mamdani a passing grade on everything because I want him to succeed, but I feel like that's the thing that's not being talked about as much.
I heard that Glo is the one who's personally responsible for leaving all of the crosswalks filled so she could just go in a circle around the
right,
block.
Right, so no one can leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm like, put more snow out there. Keep them inside. It's also disgusting. It's all fucking brown and yellow.
We're in the gross part now. There's like piles of trash on top of brown gross snow.
Isn't it dangerous for us to be around that much piss?
Yeah.
Let's stay inside.
I walk in Central Park most days, and I had a wonderful moment on, like, Monday I walked, or Tuesday, I think. And it was, like, so pure and pristine, and I was in the middle of the ramble, and I was like, this is beautiful. It's so quiet. No one else is here. And then I saw a big pile of dog shit right in the middle of the path. And it just...
And that's when you decided you were a New Yorker?
It just... No, but I think the snow, like, the snow reveals a lot of things about our city. One thing that it reveals is that we give way too much space to cars, because the mayor learned the term sneckdown, which your colleague, Dave
Cologne.
Yeah. Came up with or pressed him on. But a sneckdown, like a neckdown, is a transit term for like putting like a bulb out on an intersection to make more safety for pedestrians in daylight. And when it snows, we see like, look at all this snow. Like the cars don't actually need that much space. We should anything that's still snow today, 5 days later, should be turned into like pedestrian area when the snow melts.
Hell yeah, I agree. Cars are an illness.
I will say my particular snow car annoying story happened on Sunday night, going to bed about like 12:30, and the plows are coming through all night long, plow coming down our block, and I just hear the plow driver just laying on the horn for like a long, long time. And I look out the window, and someone on our block had dug out their car but decided to double park it outside the snowbank.
Oh.
And the car, so the snowplow is just backed up behind the car, and there's cars behind the snowplow that are also honking, and no one is moving. So I think that the snowplow should just be able to push the car. That feels like that should be legal.
This also shows the sort of demonic commitment that New Yorkers with cars have to violating traffic laws.
Yes, right.
Like, it is so hard to violate traffic laws when your car is covered in snow, and yet they found a way.
All right, Maybe a dog was driving that car. We don't know.
I want to show an example of a vehicle in distress. Andrew, if we could have photo number one up on the screen. In the Bronx... A man's Sprinter van parked under a leaky pipe by a subway station was completely encased in ice.
That's intense.
This belongs in the MoMA. I feel like
it's beautiful.
It has a meaning that I don't understand.
That's a lot of water. How leaky was this pipe? How did that happen? Was it like little by little? Is that how many days?
I think it's like a little by little, like the Bryant Park fountain will freeze.
And
it kind of looks like that. All right,
we shouldn't be outside.
Could be you. Well, it could be you.
All right, we want to bring up another thing that happened with the snow day. Public school kids were forced back on Zoom on Monday for remote learning. Why can't we have a snow day anymore, says the parent that has PTSD from teaching my children during COVID on Zoom. Why can't we have a snow day anymore,
Do we have parents
guys?
Here? Raise your hand if you had to do some Zoom schooling. Okay, we've got a couple.
A couple.
Our middle schooler had Zoom all fucking day. All day. Our second grader had let's draw a picture. It was like, all right, whatever. I roll. And then the middle schooler all day to sit there on a Zoom. That's crazy.
I feel like most of the people in this room probably know already the boring reason why there wasn't a snow day, which is that
get into it. Tell us why.
Most of the people are
I'm
going to
say
Chandler.
What the state law is. All right, but don't worry. We'll get back into riffing after this. Of course, the state law is that you have to have a public school 180 days out of the year. And there is, and as Mom Donnie blamed on previous administrations, they keep adding more and more holidays throughout the year. And so therefore, if you added a snow day makeup to the end of the year, you'd be going to school on like July 5th. Then it would have to start again like 2 months later. So that's the boring reason. Obviously, the real reason is there's no whimsy anymore. and that this is, something we should be upset about.
I'm from Florida, which is why I hate the snow. I don't know if you guys caught that. I am from Florida, and we would build in like hurricane season into the curriculum, and we had so many outs for it. So it's like, why aren't you guys fucking New York preparing for outs like that? Like,
well,
in Florida,
it's what Chandler said. The teachers don't want to go back until 2 days after Labor Day, and that's in their contract. They need 2 days to prepare, and they don't want to work for Labor Day. Okay, I enjoy having a late summer too with my kids, but it is all the holidays. We have a lot of religions in New York. We have a lot of religious holidays. We also have something in June called Anniversary Day, which is just the anniversary of when the Brooklyn and Queens school systems merged.
Oh, yeah.
And that's still a day off from school. Like, if you're a parent, June, like most kids in the country are like out like May 20th, and in New York City, we're we go to June 27th, but we have like six holidays in June.
June is a joke. So like they're like, well, we need to have Juneteenth off. I'm like, not if we're out of school before Juneteenth. Why are we still in school?
It is crazy.
Yes, it's a holiday. Let me already be celebrating it on my holiday at summer.
I was a nanny for a long time, and it was annoying because there were so many weeks where I was like, I wish I was getting paid this week, but there's some fucking weird-ass holiday that no one cares about. I don't know. I think New York should be better planned.
Let's have everybody but Glow weigh in on Juneteenth on the stage.
No thanks.
All right, I do have one pitch. One pitch that I have about all of the religious holidays, and I'm a non-religious person, so I take that with what you will. But I think if we just gave everybody 5 days, right? Yeah. Everybody can take 5 days, and whatever we consider to be the religious holidays for all the religions, for all the students, we won't assign like picture day to those days. There'll be no major test on those days. They'll just be like regular days, so missable days, and everybody can take 5 personal holidays. And then we don't
have to. You want to do PTO for kids?
Yeah, I want to do personal time off.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Personal time off for Diwali, for Yom Kippur, for Eid, for
Christmas.
For Christmas. Yes. Yes.
Your birthday's Christmas Eve, so you're partial to that.
I would make an argument, and I'm not Christian. I was raised Christian, but I would make an argument that the last week of the year should be off because we just sort of all cultures agreed, let's not do anything that week. Maybe that is not wrong of me to make that assumption, but I would advocate for that.
I just like the idea of a third grader filing through Bamboo HR to their teacher that they've been having a really tough time lately, so they have to take one of their personal days.
Yeah.
I think that's actually pretty valid. It teaches that those are real life skills that we should have, and we should be learning in fucking school.
And if parents don't want their kids to have any PTO, they don't get it because I have a job and I need my kid to be in school.
Yeah. There's also a lot of parents who like cannot afford childcare on these holidays, so it'd help them too. Ooh, baby, let's talk about that.
One thing that we want to talk about very briefly is our old mayor, who still remains in the news. Eric Adams' first big move after losing the mayorality was to launch a cryptocurrency called NYC Token that will somehow fight anti-Semitism. The whole thing appears to have been a rug pull scam. Can anyone explain to me why anyone was ever going to buy NYC Token?
I'm
going
to say, to prepare for this, I went online last night and tried to see how to buy one, and it was truly impossible. And I don't understand crypto or anything, but when you go to the dashboard, whatever the back end of this is, there are so many warnings that come up about why you shouldn't buy it and like news stories underneath it. And I was like, I'll buy it. I don't know, whatever.
Did you buy one?
I couldn't figure out how to do it.
I
do feel like it's a lot like sort of Kalshi and a lot of the other betting markets and stuff where you're not necessarily like betting on what you perceive the value to be. It's that you think that other idiots think it's worth more than it actually is. Yeah. So you get in on it, you let it rise, and then you pull out. It's basically idiots just counting on other people being bigger idiots.
How much? To be able to do a prop bet on Eric Adams.
Right.
Like, you know, 3 like, you know, malapropisms and like... 2 scams and
How many cities are the New York of their country? Right, yeah.
Maybe you can only buy it in Fort Lee, New Jersey, where he actually lives.
Oh, good idea.
Good idea, Chandler. How much Dogecoin do you have, though?
Dogecoin is the anti-Semitism coin of America. I just made that up. I just put words together.
I can't believe. I mean, look. I wouldn't respect it necessarily anymore, but NYC Token is a funny name for a weed company that he could have started instead,
Token.
Which would have been more, you know, profitable at least. There's weed shops everywhere, so, you know, just get in on that scam instead.
Instead, we're left with the budget, his like fake budget that Mamdani announced yesterday that we have to dig ourselves out of. Some Mamdani news: he's moved into Gracie Mansion. He left his apartment in Astoria this month, and when asked if he would make any changes to his new home, Gracie Mansion, Mamdani said he would be installing a few bidets. My question is: will this cause more New Yorkers to follow suit, and why are people still wiping with paper in 2026? If you can't tell, I'm a bidet advocate. My wife is not. But
not like talking about this? Why is this question in here?
As you can tell.
I'm on team bidet, 100%. My third eye was opened on this a couple years ago.
Your what?
My third eye and my fourth eye also. But
all
I went to Asia, and they have what Mamdani is actually installing this also, what's known as the bum gun. And it's a little hose. It's better than a bidet even. And it's a little like hose that you just squeeze into your butt. And it's like the force of, you know, 1,000 bidets.
I am going to go back to grad school, and I am going to write a dissertation on why men are obsessed with talking about bidets. Because it feels like they can't talk about their feelings, but they can talk about bidets.
Men will go to therapy and get a bidet.
I do feel like it's one of the only socially acceptable ways that we get to go, ooh. Exactly.
I have a bidet. I've had a bidet for a long time, and I was cheap, and I didn't get the warm one, and I got the cold one, and my building's water is cold. And you know what? It's like, I'm not a man, but man, I love it. I'm obsessed with the cold water up my butt. It's just like, yeah. I went to my friend, and she has warm water, and I was like, what is that? That feels like someone spitting up your butt.
Which
people are into, but not from my toilet. Cold water, please.
I don't know what kind of people you're dating.
The last thing I'll say about bidets, if anybody listening to this podcast, watching this live stream, or in the audience is considering it, I recommend it. And I think that there are very few people I know who have gotten a bidet and who have said, nope, not for me, and gone back.
Do we have a promo code you want to promote now?
Yeah, go to tushy.today and use promo code not
promo code NIMBY. Just try it in all the, see if it works in any of the bidets.
Wait, Cody, but why are you anti-bidet?
I'm not, I just don't like to talk about these things. I am a lady. And I live in a house with boys, and I grew up with three brothers, and I'm like, can I just have my moment where I don't have to fucking talk about
it? It's one of the last great taboo-boos.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Sort of because boo-boo is poop.
I'm going to ineloquently move this along because I don't want to talk about it anymore. Okay? Mamdani called. I need someone to explain this to me. Mamdani thought he needed to call Trump the day after Maduro was captured to express his concerns. Shouldn't Mamdani keep his mouth shut when it comes to Trump? Shouldn't he only call Trump if it has to relate to New York City? I thought this was, they had their meeting. We talked about this last month. They had their meeting. It was wonderful. Trump is obsessed with Mamdani, and we were like, cool, this maybe he'll leave us alone for a little bit, right? But why did Mamdani decide he needed to call him and voice anything? Just stay away. Don't poke the bear. Am I wrong?
Well, Maduro is in New York right now, so it kind of does have to, like, it is under his jurisdiction a little bit, no?
I guess.
Isn't he in Gracie Mansion? Oh, not Gracie Mansion.
He's in Gracie Mansion.
Isn't he in Gracie Mansion?
He's chilling in Gracie Mansion enjoying the bidets.
He's in the celebrity jail with Luigi and,
Luigi and Gracie Mansion.
Jelaine.
Martha Stewart's back in there
P.
for
Diddy?
Some reason. We don't know.
P. Diddy's in there too, no?
Yeah.
Diddy's in there, yeah.
Yeah, at the Gracie Mansion. They're all hanging out. But I think it, I don't know. I agree. I like that he spoke up. But I agree. It's like, I don't know, pick your battles because he's going to turn on you.
Yeah,
but
I mean, this week he spoke up about ICE. And yeah, we all need to speak up about what's going on with ICE. But it does feel like, I don't know, this is like an international thing. It just doesn't seem very relevant. I just want Trump to forget about trying to stop congestion pricing. And just like if Trump didn't think about our city and like, I mean, I would like him to give us the money to build the Gateway Tunnel, which is apparently going to dry up in 1 week. But, you know, generally, not that I'm arguing for appeasement, but just I wouldn't randomly call him over an issue that's not salient.
Yeah, just, you know, it's like you get grounded from your parents. Just stay away from him, you know?
I guess, but I do think that we've gotten as far as we have with him sort of not trying to avoid it. And honestly, like, seemingly Trump is flattered by having a line of communication with Mamdani. I think Trump misses New York and sees that New Yorkers like Mamdani and he wants New Yorkers to like him. And he's so obsessed with like the 5% of people in the Bronx that voted for him. And that makes him feel really good.
And
so
Staten Island.
I really do feel like that Mamdani to him is just like what he sees as like an opportunity to maintain some kind of connection back with the city. And if Mamdani is able to make him feel good in that way but not actually compromise on anything, I feel like it's ultimately helpful to the city in a way that other Democratic leaders have not been able to figure out. I mean, you know, again, maybe I'll be, you know, proven wrong, like, when we are targeted next. But I think that there's a reason why Trump hasn't targeted New York as aggressively as he's targeted other places.
Well, Trump did say in response to Mamdani's call that he was surprised that Mamdani hit him. But he followed up saying, he's got a great personality. He's right. A nice guy.
I think this is
I can't stay mad at that beautiful face.
He loves him for some reason.
I think you're right, Chandler, where it's like, I don't think anyone is talking to Trump about shit in a real way at all. And I think Trump does think it's cute. Like, he's like, oh, what? You don't like what I did? I think he's like a little bit like, oh, my God,
he's kicking his feet.
He's like kicking his feet like, I'm a bad boy because everyone tells him he's good.
He surrounded himself with like real losers for like the past 10 years of his life, like Stephen Miller and Vance and all these.
And he hates them.
And he hates them all.
And he loves beautiful people.
Yeah, and he sees a cool guy and he's like, there's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Like, why can't I get a cool guy? Like, why? So I think they were maybe already texting. He's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, they're just like already. One thing I do want to bring up, because we have a running theme on the show, I love to talk about how politicians are old and they think that it's a retirement home. Political office is a retirement home. The judge that is trying the Maduro case is 90 years old.
What?
He's 90 years old with a nine, and he's the judge who's going to be in charge of this case. Now, this case will take years. And is he resigning? No, he's not. He's not going
to. Cody, what's his reputation, this judge? What's he known for?
Being 90. I don't know.
He's known for staying sleeping. Alive. He's known for falling asleep.
He falls asleep, and everyone has to be like, trial. I think the judge is asleep. And guys, this is not the latest season of Jury Duty. This is real.
Why isn't there, like when you're old, you have to give up your license. Like, when you're old, you should be able to give up your fucking law degree, no? Like,
I think
like
you should be 90 and be the judge in this most.
Is this particular
thing on your law degree, like you do on your license, right?
Yeah. Do we know if this particular position is elected or an appointment, like a lifetime appointment?
I mean, back in the day, how did they do it?
Because I think that like
100 years ago,
one big answer is like abolish lifetime appointments, because that's part that incentivizes this kind of thing. You choose people at an extremely young age, and they just have to like live it out until there's a political opportunistic moment, which we're also seeing on the Supreme Court. And then you have situations like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like clinging onto the seat and dying at the wrong time.
Guys,
this is a ridiculous
spend time
way.
Time with your grandkids.
We were just talking
they
backstage
love you.
About
go on a vacation.
We were just talking about backstage about how we don't want to work. Like already.
I know.
And we're all
our
like,
generation's like, I'm good. I'm
like,
40.
I'm like already
I'm
tired
done.
Of it. Like I can't imagine being like, I want to keep working. Like go to Disney World or like go to, you know, take a break. Go to Sandals Resort. Like
that is interesting. Will this work itself out because our generation is lazy as fuck? Maybe. Yeah.
We're going to be like, you know what? I've had this role long enough. I'm going to retire at 40.
Now, that being said, I am doing the Brian Johnson Blood Boy thing, so I think I might live to 1,000.
Okay, well, then you've got
and still retire at 45.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love it if they had second careers like most millennials. Oh, my God. Like, you know, I did the judge thing. I'm going to start selling Etsy now or whatever. Ah, God, that would be so cool.
If we all bought his stuff off of Etsy, would he then retire?
Handmade robes.
Yeah, handmade robes, pillows. I don't know. What other sleeping stuff? Sandals?
Gavels.
Etsy store for gavels.
Yes.
All right, I want to talk about the supermarket Wegmans, who is scanning the faces of customers, reading from Gothamist. Wegmans has begun collecting biometric data from anyone who enters its supermarkets, according to new signage posted at the chain's Manhattan and Brooklyn locations. Anyone entering the store could have data on their face, eyes, and voices collected and stored by the supermarket chain. In a statement, Wegmans says, like many retailers, we use cameras to help identify individuals who pose a risk to our people, customers, or operation. In a small fraction of our stores that have exhibited an elevated risk, we have deployed cameras equipped with facial recognition technology. Will this make you stop shopping at Wegmans or other stores? Macy's also is using the technology.
I've got to say, I've only been in Wegmans a couple times, but I've never seen anyone in there who's not a Fresh Direct shopper. Or like a delivery shopper, you know what I'm talking about? Like everyone is in there scanning their thing, so I'm not convinced they have a customer base that isn't already in some sort of database from FreshDirect, so I don't know like how many people this affects, but it's scary.
I mean, if they're monitoring their employees that way, then that's like also scary if they all are all working for FreshDirect. That sucks. I hate that. What the fuck? Why is that a thing now? They're putting it on fucking subway stations too. Why do I know, like, me, like, okay, if like propaganda can work for people to worship cops, then the other fucking shit in media should work too, right? We have so many movies that show that like a police state is actually bad and that we shouldn't be monitoring everything. We have all those movies. Like, why don't we also recognize that as like real? We only take the bad shit from movies and we're like, that's real. Does that make sense? I don't know. It pisses me off. Like we know that AI is bad. There's so many movies about why AI is bad. Why are we doing this?
Right, but and yet no flying vehicles or tube systems to send us around, yeah.
All we get is the pure gym tubes.
Yeah, well, that's actually the next thing we wanted to talk about. So let's get photo number two up, Andrew, of the pure gym tube. So Hellgate did some reporting last month on Pure Gym's tube entrance system. So Pure Gym is the new owner of the gyms previously owned by Blink Fitness. It's a UK brand owned by private equity. And to keep costs down and to provide 24-hour access, gym members scan their card and then enter via a tube that fully encloses for a few seconds before opening on the other side. Presumably, this prevents people from letting non-members by holding the door into the gym. Of course, it also allows Pure Gym to not have to hire a human to work at a front desk. What does the panel think of the tube system of entering the gym?
I take it back. I don't want tubes. I was thinking of the Futurama tubes that send you around, not this shit. No, this is also dystopian.
This is why I don't go to the gym. The only reason.
I was sitting silent on Wegmans because I was like, in the event that I could afford to grocery shop at Wegmans, then maybe I would be opposed to this.
What is
Don't
Wegmans
put me in your database, please.
What's like, that?
What is Wegmans known for?
Expensive food.
Isn't it like, is it Philly or something? It's like a regional.
Sandwiches
upstate,
that are good.
Upstate? Yeah. Okay, so it's like very Publix. Popular in like a regional area.
They have like good house brands of stuff. Like the Wegmans brands are good.
Well, I'm never going in there.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
But the only psyop I want from a grocery store is the Trader Joe's employees flirting with me. Hey. That's all.
I'm gonna go on another little rant again. I think like the things that we're depending so much on machines, but the people who make sure that machines are working the way they're supposed to work are being fired all the fucking time. So most machines don't fucking work, and it's like we're spending all this money on stupid shit like this that looks stupid and doesn't fucking work, and all it's gonna do is cause headache for the people, like, because you're only gonna have two people in there, and those people are gonna get fucking yelled at all day because that shit's not gonna work, and that sucks. It makes me so mad. Computers are bad. They're not good.
If you saw, they had a handmade like whiteboard sign that they also, I think Hellgate also ran with this, that was like a long list of instructions on using the tube that were confusing. And it's like, this isn't helpful to anyone. And then they also, like, the fire department said that you can't do this because people need to be able to leave.
Yeah.
I said people need to be able to leave quickly. Not in a tube-based exit.
I would love to just be in that boardroom, you know, where someone's like, we've got a problem. We have to pay one person $20 an hour every day.
Let's spend $100,000 per tube to not pay one person $20 an hour for, like, to get $100,000, they would have to work there for, like, 5 years or some stupid shit like that.
Also, $20 an hour, come on. You know they're paying $15. They're paying $15.
To make $100,000 that part-time employee would have to work there for fucking 5 years, but instead of investing in someone for 5 years, they're like, fuck that, let's blow money on stupid shit and trap you in a fucking... I would never go in there.
And when you talk about something that looks stupid and doesn't fucking work, those were the only jobs I qualified for with my political science degree when I graduated from college.
One other update to this story, which I think Hellgate ran with today, is there is a blind man who's a member of the gym, and Pure Gym suggested that maybe he cancel his membership because he couldn't verify whether or not people were coming in the tube with him on the way in. Pretty bad.
Guys, cancel that membership. I don't care how cheap it is. Sounds real bad.
What the fuck?
All right, I want to talk to you guys about a robbery that happened recently.
Oh, yes.
Three masked and hooded men, including one armed with a handgun, walked into the Pokey Court shop in Chelsea. One of them smashed display cases with a hammer and stole what the owner of the shop said is more than $120,000 worth of Pokemon cards. Ooh. Question for the panel, should our son sell his Pokemon cards?
No.
Yes.
Well, first of all, $120,000, that's just two shiny Charizards. So you have to put that into perspective. Yeah, this is another one of those things where I feel like the market for it is highly dependent on how stupid you think the rest of the world is.
Excuse me, I play Magic the Gathering, and I need you to tread lightly, Chandler. Tread lightly.
You don't collect it as an investment,
who
do you?
Says? Who says? I have two fucking boxes full of cards. And I do it because I like playing the game, but also every once in a while I get a card that's like $100. And I'm like, that's crazy.
But that's the difference between Magic and Pokemon. No one plays the Pokemon game.
No one plays
Pokemon.
They just
collect the cards. And it's gambling.
It's gambling.
It's gambling.
Look, I've got a lot of Pogs that I'm sitting on. They're going to be valuable any day now.
So our children went to this Pokemon store a couple weeks before.
It is a very posh, high-end Pokemon store in the meatpacking district underneath the High Line. It is a very fancy Pokemon store. I guess I'm not surprised they were a Target, but it sucks. I mean, it is like a group of friends started this store, and there was a smash and grab with
guns. It's clearly teenagers that grabbed it. I mean, as a mom of an almost teenager, I was like, I recognize those children.
But could they have been commissioned by Nintendo's famously litigious legal department, which I don't know if anyone here resonates with this, but they're always suing people for like having unlicensed stuff, and this sounds like a third-party thing, so I'm going to make it a conspiracy that it's Nintendo doing
this. Is it
this.
A third-party thing?
I don't know. Is it?
Well, I mean, it's a store that sells Pokemon cards, and I guess they're selling them legally, but I don't know if the name PokeCourt is something they can
use.
It's
like licensed, yeah.
Yeah.
Do they also sell Pokeballs?
No, they don't sell the food.
Damn.
Yeah, how hard is it to forge a Pokemon card? Like, are they? Do they have like the hologram on it from the mint? Like, you know, what,
absolutely.
What
are we,
so many nerds really? Are punching absolutely. The wall listening to this, knowing so much more about Pokemon.
Don't know anything about Pokemon?
But like, it is just cardboard. But they're like, you know, which ones are real and which ones are fake. There's a lot put into it. I don't know.
I'm pretty good at Canva. Can I make one? Like,
yeah. Okay, tread lightly, guys. I'm in it. I'm in the cardboard game. It's very fun. I mean, Pokemon is different, and it is just gambling, and no one really plays the game. But there's something so fun about opening a pack of cards. Yeah, you're just like, oh, what's going to be in this
thing? It's the same feeling you get when you pull a slot machine. What's it going to be? Am I going to get something valuable?
It's an investment.
All right, here's another strange news story. A judge last month declined a woman's request to change her first name to Doctor. That's D-R period, Doctor. The woman argued that her use of doctor in her legal name was not intended to confuse or deceive anyone by indicating that she had earned a degree or had a professional title, and that the proposed name change served as a personal expression of how I wish to be referred to by others. But a New York City civil court rejected the specific request, ruling that despite the petitioner's apparent well-meaning intent, the request may reasonably lead to fraud, deception, or confusion. Should you be able to name your kid Doctor?
I mean, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, there was a doc in there.
But it's DR, not the word doctor. Or
she wanted to be DR, period.
She wanted to sow confusion and chaos, clearly. I kept thinking about how the New York Times would refer to this person if it was like Dr. Miss, Mrs. Doctor, Dr. Mrs. the Monarch. Like
It's a statement against style guides.
Right, she's can't contain me in your
New Yorker
box.
Would put a few extra periods in there for no reason. And an umlaut.
I mean, I feel like we're very certain that we're done having children, but this might make me rethink it, just to see. We could have another kid and just see if
could
if
one
it
of
goes
your
through.
Existing does one of your existing kids want to express themselves by being named his or her majesty?
Professor? Can you name a kid Professor?
Professor! Oh,
I think you could.
Absolutely could name a kid Professor. I guarantee that there's a kid somewhere in New York City right now with the name Professor.
I'm going to change my last name to Esquire.
This sent me down a Wikipedia hole last night of trying to figure out if Dr. Doom was a medical doctor. And I was like, what's he a doctor of? Why is he named that? Yeah. He's not.
His parents
he's an imposter. He's stolen valor.
Is he just an academic?
Unclear. He's just, you know, I think you just went to change his name.
I'm here for it. I think you should. I like her. I think she's doing big things. I think we should all follow suit. I don't know. There's something about her spirit that I really resonate with.
All right, I want to change gears and do a transportation topic, as we often do on the show. Woo. I want to talk about red light cameras. New York City transportation officials announced plans to significantly expand the number of red light cameras that automatically ticket reckless drivers, now that Mamdani's in charge. The city currently has cameras in place at 150 intersections, but plans to quadruple the figure by the end of the year to the maximum amount allowed by Albany law, 600. Drivers are issued a $50 ticket if a camera catches the car running a red light. City data shows that the program raked in $20 million in net revenue in 2024. Red light cameras have reduced T-bone crashes by 65% and rear-end collisions by 49%. So it makes the city a ton of money. It drastically reduces crashes. I think, why not every single intersection in the city? And I want to know if the panel could wager a guess, how many traffic signals do you think there are in the city? So we're going from 150 to 600 that we're allowed to put the cameras in. How many intersections with traffic lights do you think we have in the city?
I got to think Tim would be able to set the line on this.
Oh, man, I'll take a guess, but I don't know if I know. I'm going to say, like, 3,000.
Okay. There's 200 blocks. Like, there's like, it goes... No,
is it for the five boroughs?
All five boroughs. Yeah. All five boroughs?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I would say like, I would say like 10,000.
13,770.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a good guess. So, so Albany's going to let us put cameras in 600 of them. Yay!
I like it, but I just feel so conned by congestion pricing, because they were like, we're going to fix a subway, and so far all they're doing is putting more cameras and shit.
Well, so they're going to implement it right away. It's been like less than a year.
Oh, it's been less than a year, but we got cameras everywhere now.
They're putting elevators in some stations, or accessibility.
Okay.
They're putting
this is why you can't have a wonk on the show who knows facts. We're out here with opinions.
I'm here with opinions, yeah. But have you noticed I have facial recognition cameras too? I do think they're just putting cameras. They put I don't like cameras.
They put a couple fences out so that you can't get pushed in that one spot.
I think in that one spot. I am a very bad driver, and on the few occasions that I have driven in the state of New York with like a rental car or whatever, I have accidentally violated so many traffic laws due to a lack of skill. And so I would love for like power to be taken away from my hands. I want more red light cameras. I wouldn't mind like bumpers on the sides of the road, like bowling style. Like I need everything possible. One time I was driving, like I didn't even realize I was driving like 17 miles over the speed limit upstate. I got pulled over, I got a ticket, and on the ticket, the name of the court case that I was supposed to have was The People of the State of New York versus Chandler Dean. And it was so dramatic and completely deserved. Please take the power out of drivers' hands.
Yeah, I think we should actually go further. I think we should install at intersections the like Thwomp from Mario Brothers to come down like whenever anyone crosses. As like punishment, just on the hood, not on the.
We could get some cheap tubes. We could get some cheap tubes from the fitness, and then
The tubes are good for that. Yeah, for
but
sure.
If you don't know Mario, these are the big giant stones that come down as Mario's trying to run.
Yeah.
So you're saying the thwomp would come like right when it turns red?
No. If you're in the, if you cross into the intersection,
like a blocking the box thing. Or?
No. It was just anyone who goes into it, their car is smashed by it. Again, just the front of the car, not the part where the people are sitting.
There is a theory that like. People are bad at driving because driving is too easy. So I think we should make driving harder because people pay attention more.
So I was just reading this afternoon that traffic crashes are way down this past week in New Jersey because people are driving slow. Because it's really hard to drive, and when everybody's going slow, you would think counterintuitively, like, "Oh, the roads are sketchy; it would be more crashes." But it's less because people have all these, you know, barriers to driving fast.
If I could tell one red light running story, which is I wrote about this for the New York Groove a couple months ago, and I had an incident in Park Slope. I was living at the corner of Union and 7th Avenue in Park Slope, prime slope, children falling out of the trees everywhere, nannies, strollers, you know, whatever, and I saw someone was turning against the light illegally and was kind of nudging their way through the crosswalk, and everyone was like kind of pushing around them or whatever. And I took it upon myself to be the person to put my hands on the hood and stop them and be like, you have to wait for people because there's a green light here. And the guy rolled down the window and looked at me and said, this isn't Manhattan. And I said, I nearly like hulked out. Like I almost felt my like actual body growing in size. And I was like, this is the world where there are rules. I was like, I was so upset. Why did you feel the need to say this? It's Park Slope, where there's famously children and families everywhere.
This is in Manhattan. I can't run people over in Manhattan, but
yeah,
I can't.
But here, I hear it's fine. Yeah.
But that's also supposing that drivers behave themselves in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And I can say as a resident, they
this
do
is
not.
In Manhattan, which is why I haven't killed you. Yeah.
Well, I want to shift gears and talk about something that's really important to us at the NIMBY show. So we had a national politics show for a really long time, starting in 2016. And one of the issues that really, really came up often that we would get really upset about was milk in schools. Charlie and I love to talk about milk in schools. And it came back in the news this week in New York City schools. So New York City public schools, they're sticking with 1% and skim milk options in the face of Trump signing the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act, which allows whole milk in schools. While federal guidelines have a limit on how much saturated fat is allowed in school meals, the new law exempts milk from being counted as part of the tally. What is everyone's obsession with milk? It is so weird. I think it's crazy.
Some background on this, why we've talked about it on the show before, is that the government mandates that schools must serve milk.
They must serve milk.
And chocolate milk. In New York, because of Elise Stefanik, who lives in like a milk district, fought the. They were trying
it's
to.
It's big milk. Big milk is out there. You think it's not, and it is.
It is literally big milk.
There's a lot of big milk in New York State, and they were trying to get. Some people were trying to get rid of chocolate milk in schools, and Elise Stefanik quashed that real fast. Like,
because
no.
They said, but the kids aren't drinking the regular milk. And it's like, well, you're mandating that they have a certain amount of milk, so there's piles of milk just spoiling. They're like, well, we have to add chocolate to it. Then you like let a kid drink it, and they're going to drink the chocolate milk. It's crazy.
Any panelists drink whole milk or even better, raw milk?
Okay, so here's my deal. I, for a while, was like, the reason why there's so much lactose intolerance is because we've stopped drinking milk. So for like 2 years,
who stopped drinking milk?
So many people I know.
Well, everyone's almond milk and oat milk
and almonds and all the other shit. And I was like, fuck that. Like there's nothing like milk and cereal, like actual whole milk and cereal. Like there's nothing like a whole milk latte. So for like 2 years, I was like, I'm going to train myself to like milk and be okay with it. And it was a terrible 2 years. And I am back on oat milk. I can't do it anymore. It was really bad.
You're like, I'm not in Florida anymore. Yeah. I need oat milk. I'm in Manhattan.
Sorry to bring up a bidet again, but thank God I had a bidet for those 2 years. It was rough, but the reason why we have cheese on everything and milk on everything, we know this, right? It's because big milk. It's literally, they're subsidized, but even though no one, that's why they put cheese in everything, it's because milk is subsidized by the government, so there's more milk. We know this. Okay.
Government cheese, yeah.
It's government cheese!
I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and I feel like that was like, you drink like 15 gallons of milk. You drink no water. You just drink milk and Kool-Aid. I only drank milk and Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And Coca-Cola. I had a lot of cavities. A lot of cavities as a child.
As I assume the only vegan on the panel, I gotta say, everybody's gotta stop drinking milk. Oh, we're growing in numbers. I feel like we solved milk. Oat milk is fine. Have it. It's good. Cow milk is white supremacist coded because I'm serious. Like, that's why Trump is doing it. Partially, like all the Proud Boys walk around and they drink milk. It's because 70% of the world is lactose intolerant. And a lot of those are from non-white countries. And so their whole thinking is that, like, well, if your body can't digest milk, you're like from an inferior race. But actually, they're just they're just doing the milk gallon challenge on themselves to like own the libs. But really, you should consider whether you want to be associated with the white supremacist milk, or just or something that contributes to climate change and animal welfare problems and all that, or just oat milk.
Or we could use whole milk to power the bidets. Have it go up the other
hot
way.
Milk.
I was gonna ask, do you think the Proud Boys have bidets?
I think they're too proud.
They use sandpaper.
No, because that's their butt stuff what they would be weird about.
So, Tim, I'm not a vegan. I'm a vegetarian. But I drank milk. And one day, I've said this on our old show, but one day I was walking near my apartment, and someone from PETA handed me a flyer about milk when milk was referred to as forced lactation. And, like, I thought about it for a second, like, yeah, that sucks. We force cows to lactate all day long so I can drink it. And then I switched to almond milk, and I haven't looked back, and it's fine.
I'd like to be clear. If anyone in here needs to drink milk because they are a baby cow, that's fine. I support your right to drink it. But if you're a baby cow, I support your right to drink
it. I totally support and respect veganism. It is the correct ideology. I wish that I were subscribed to it and I'm trapped in sort of meat addiction. But I will also say you might be the first person ever to actually accept and read one of those flyers.
And
that's why they keep doing it.
Yeah. He drinks almond milk now because of it.
Wow. That was 6 years ago. I mean, yeah. I mean, PETA's tactics.
He was like,
tactics,
I got this flyer. I think I want almond milk now. I was like, okay.
I wish it wasn't like a big industrial complex. I wish we still had milk and cheese, but I wish it wasn't like a fucking thing that's like everywhere. You have to have legislation to force children to drink it. It's like, no one's buying the milk. Make the kids drink milk. It's crazy that
I was watching Nick Jr. at 3 years old and the milk lobby had commercials to show me is absolutely crazy.
In our schools, I don't know how old everyone here is, but in the schools, it was celebrity with milk mustaches telling me to fucking chug that shit.
When I went, we went to my parents' house in Florida this over the holidays. They had a giant ass gallon of milk in there. I was like, "You're a grown ass man just drinking a gallon of milk." My dad's still just every day drinking a gallon of milk.
It runs deep.
I know people are raising their hand. Bless him. He look, his bones are great. He got great bones.
All right, I want to talk about.
RFK is here, everyone. RFK is here, everybody. Thank you.
Got an advocate for raw milk in the audience. All right. I want to talk about a controversy that came up, shoe-free workplaces. The New York Times reports that some Manhattan tech company offices have implemented a no-shoes policy where workers change into company-branded sandals upon arrival. One CEO told the Times that the no-shoes policy makes it feel like a second home. Should office workers take off their shoes like house party guests would?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, hell yeah. I'm on stage with a bunch of white people. If you're listening, if you're not in here and you don't know that, I'm on stage with a bunch of white people. White people love their fucking shoes. It's crazy. If I'm indoors right now, my feet are like, you're indoors, take them off. Take them off. I hate shoes.
I agree.
I'm outside all day with no shoes on. Are you kidding me? I grew up in Florida. I was in the streets fucking barefoot, like a little fucking gremlin. I don't know. Let's take our shoes off. When people complain about people with their shoes off in airplanes, I'm like, what are you supposed to do? You're in there for like 5 hours. You have your shoes on? They're going to cook in there. Your feet are going to cook in there. No, take them off. They got to breathe.
I'm with you on being barefoot outside as a beach kid, as a kid who grew up on the beach, more or less. Like, I would, you know, leave the house without shoes sometimes. I don't like the idea of my company forcing me to do it and wear company branded, you know, squidgy.com sandals or whatever the brand
They're definitely is. Scanning your feet.
That's right.
Do you guys have house sandals?
I just walk around barefoot.
Yeah, no. You walk around barefoot?
I walk around barefoot.
Oh my gosh.
What? You got to feel the toes. We used to be able to move our toes more. I'm going to be one of those people. I'm going to start being one of those people that stretches their
Talk
toes
Talk to me
out.
When you turn 40, then you'll start wearing.
What does turning 40 have to do with this?
Because I have old lady feet.
Yeah, we are big proponents of house sandals.
We're an UFOS.
Yeah, specifically the brand UFO. I wish we had
a
promo code.
Yeah, promo code UFOS.
OOFOS. Yeah, UFOS. It'll change your life.
Is this an aesthetic issue?
Oh
or
no, they're really ugly. These shoes.
They're fine. No, they're but just
I mean, is it hazardous to walk around?
Yeah, I have like arthritis in my feet, so I need support.
I
can't walk
that.
Around barefoot. Very flat feet.
Yeah, it's 100% about comfort. Although in our house, it is nice to not step on a Lego. Because
have a Lego hazard. Yeah. It's a bad thing.
If you work at Lego, the sandals are made of Legos, though, so it's really not pleasant.
I was once fired from a job for not wearing shoes.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you might not know the story. I was like 22 or 23, one of my first temp jobs in the city. I worked at an ad agency, and it was only like three people in the office. Real casual, small agency, and I took off my shoes, and I would walk around this small office in my socks. I don't know why. Maybe I just felt like gloated, and I just went.
Why didn't you tell me this before we got married? That is pathological behavior.
Well, I did get fired for
it. I may not
it.
Have married you if I had known this story. You walked around your office with no shoes on?
I mean, the office was like not much bigger than this stage.
Which means the stink travels more quickly.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this all wasn't a problem. But yeah, I don't know. I just
I'm rethinking our entire relationship.
I don't remember why I thought I could do it, but I did it. And I left on a Friday. I was there for like 2 months. It was a temp job. I was supposed to be there for a week, and they liked me a little bit, and I stayed around. But then I left on a Friday at 5 o'clock, and I got a call at 5:20 from my temp agent saying, like, did you not wear shoes at that job? You've been fired. And I was like, oh, whoops.
They're like, and now you've been hired.
Send them a story now and be like, I was ahead of the trend.
But also, like, I just wish that the woman, there was three of us in the office, and I just wish the woman would have been like, what the hell? Put your shoes on. Like, she just told me to put my shoes on instead of like firing
no,
me.
The
woman.
That was in like an indicator of your like psychological like crazy behavior. She was like, this person, I don't feel safe. This person
is a leading indicator. I'm sorry they have squashed your free spirit.
Thank you, Glow.
I am sorry that's been squashed. I worked at a yoga studio for like a month and it was glorious. I was barefoot all day. I would Swiffer, so the floor was always clean. My feet were always clean. We should live like that. I'm here for this fucking office.
I can't wait for you guys to start your own company together.
Ooh.
You and Charlie.
Yeah. We're going to start a company, shoes off company. Like, what do you guys do here? I don't know. We don't wear shoes, though.
I want to talk about grocery prices. We talked about Wegmans earlier being expensive. Should we let national chains like Walmart open in poorer neighborhoods in the city to give residents access to cheaper groceries? I heard this argued on Brian Lehrer this week by an expert on this. Why do we keep national grocery chains out and prop up Republican billionaire John Catsimatidis chains, Gristiti's and D'Agostino? We have a Gristiti's and D'Agostino like every few blocks of Manhattan, and they are the worst grocery stores possible, and that's because we don't let the national chains in. We keep the horrible local chain. So should we allow national grocery stores into our city?
I mean, we have some national grocery stores. We have Whole Foods. We have Trader Joe's.
Target.
Target, yeah, those people sell. But the problem with letting a Walmart in specifically, which has never been in the city, is that they have this like black hole effect on everyone else, every other business around them. So they can lower their prices to run everyone out of business, and then they can do whatever they want. And they also have terrible labor practices and non-union workplaces. So they're kind of like sucking up all the energy, but then they're filling it with like nothing that is as valuable as like a smaller store. I don't think a Gristiti's is necessarily good either, but there are some other options in between.
Superfood Town, baby.
Superfood
Who lives
uptown?
Superfood Town?
That's
the fucking best, dude.
I feel like it makes perfect sense in other communities, but I do wonder, I have the instinct that I feel like in New York, the grocery stores would be able to be more resilient due to just like the habits that people have and also the sort of, I mean, there is this real like, negative feeling towards Walmart that I also think has just motivated this. Like, just the sort of idea of, like, I don't want Walmarts here, we're different. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like New York might be one city that's a little bit more able to withstand what you describe. But also, yes, I hate all of those practices.
I think at this point, like, we're putting all of it on Walmart when, like, fucking Whole Foods does it because it's now owned by Amazon.
Right.
Like Trader Joe's does it. Like, all these big, like, if they're national chains, they are doing it, but Walmart is the one who gets the flack for it. I think we should take all of them fucking out of here. But, like, I mean, so back in the day, there was a UCB in, like, by 2nd Ave. You would get off the 2nd Ave station or whatever and walk down that, and there was all these stores there. And now whenever you go down, like, fucking, I forget what the street is. I think it's 2nd Ave. You, like, go down it. And it's like fucking Marshalls and like Target and like it's all these big chains because they're already like a sore in the city. The problem is that like we're gonna put a Walmart in 34th Street. It's like that's not the actual problem. The problem is that there are food deserts in New York City. So it's like if they want to put a Walmart in fucking the Bronx, they like that would maybe be helpful, but they're not gonna do that. It's only gonna be in the center of the city and it's gonna ruin the local like. It isn't going to solve the problem. The problem will be solved if we, like, go to the food deserts and put grocery stores in there.
You should have to build, like, 4 city-owned grocery stores for every Walmart that you add.
Well, that's that's what Mamdani wanted. He wants to have a city-owned grocery store in each borough in food deserts, and he was called a crazy socialist for that. But it is interesting, though, when you think about stores taking over, and especially after COVID, a lot of stores closed, and a lot of the national chains are closing too. And nobody buys anything in person anymore. So it is really hard to sustain a store unless, of course, you're a national chain that has the budget behind it to, you know, weather the storm, get used to the climate and the people, and start stocking what the specific neighborhood wants. So, you know, it's a conundrum. Like, we all want more stores, but when was the last time everybody went to one, you know?
I hate online shopping.
No, I don't like, online shop, but I'm a weirdo.
I'm also a weirdo. I hate it. People think it's easier, but every time I online shop, the quality is really bad. I don't know what to pick. They're like, Amazon's like, just do this one. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that one, I guess. And it's bad. But I used to love going to the store and being like, I want to smell all the deodorants, but not all the deodorants are behind the fucking prison. Yeah. And I have to like have a 20-year-old kid that I like hound down to come watch me sniff deodorants. And it's so embarrassing. It's so awful.
And he's waiting for you, and you're like, I don't know which one. I have to see if one's on sale. I don't know.
I don't know. I just need a deodorant. Just wait.
Pixar movie concept, escape from deodorant jail.
Yeah, 100%.
Can I just say something about the deodorant jail? It's in the jail, and then you take it out, and then you can steal it from the store.
Yeah. I'll take 50 of those. Like, and can you put them in this bag? I'm going to walk out.
A friend of mine steals things from Target every now and then. And it's pretty easy, actually, because they unlock the thing, and then you're just like, thanks, and then you can walk out. My friend says this.
It's also like, if they just hired more people, they would save money on the jails. But they don't want to hire more people. They want to put things behind jails to save money, but they're wasting money on the jails. Right. The jails are expensive to install.
What if the deodorant had to go through a tube by itself?
You're right.
I will say this too, but some of my best like cross-generational, cross-demographic bonding moments in the city have been with other people waiting for the fucking attendant to come open the jail. And they're like, I'm just trying to buy soap. And I'm like, with these, like, you know, Jamaican aunties or whatever, and we're all bitching about the same thing.
Well, also the demand for spray deodorant is going to go way up when we have shoeless offices around the country.
All right, one last quick topic. I want to talk about bars and churches. In our neighborhood of Hell's Kitchen, the bar Monkey Thief was forced to shut down when a liquor authority inspector noticed it was within 200 feet of a church. The location had been a bar since the 1980s without issue, but apparently there was some discrepancy in how the measurement was made. So can someone explain to me why we can't have a bar near a church in the first place? I understand barely not wanting a bar next to a school, which is also part of the same law. But even then, schools aren't typically in session when a bar is open, and bars aren't open at 11 a.m. on Sundays during church. Can we get rid of these weird temperance laws?
Charlie. Charlie, the thing is that churchgoers are all alcoholics. They can't be near strip clubs. They can't be near bars. They can't be near anything fun because they'll indulge. You know, we
so
gotta
it's for
protect
their good
them.
That it's not. Okay, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
We gotta protect them. They need to be protected because if not, they'd be like disgusting perverts. You know, they're some of the most vile people go to church, and we can't unleash that. We need to keep them away.
This is actually the best argument for this I've ever heard.
They're some of the most atrocious, disgusting people.
I have a radical idea. I think we should have schools in bars.
Wow.
Because think of it. You're right. The bars are closed during the day, and that's when kids are there. So it's all this empty space. We need more schools. Think about it.
I do love Glow's hypothesis that we're keeping vagrants out of bars, a.k.a. churchgoers.
Yeah. Respectable bar people can't be infected by the churchgoers.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just frustrated by the whole system in our city where we measure things from the distance of a school. Like there's a law, you know, there's been a law about you can reduce the speed limit on streets if it's in front of a school, right, or a block around the school. My children also walk around their home. Right? And they walk from their home to the school, and they pass liquor stores, and they pass bars, and they pass weed shops, and it's fine. Right? And like, there's nothing special about, like, well, you know, if they're going to get hit by a car by the school. No, they're going to get hit by a car anywhere.
It's so dumb. And, like, I think because, like, we're also missing a lot of third spaces, and in a lot of other countries, like, pubs and like bars are third spaces where kids go and like spend the day, and they don't drink necessarily, but because like
we're isolating ourselves so much that we can't have a fucking bar. I don't know. It's stupid. It just makes me mad.
Well, this is very personal for me because another theater nearby, Caveat, in the Lower East Side, is subject to this regulation. They cannot sell liquor due to their proximity to another church. And so then when I do shows there, the audience isn't drunk, and I often bomb as a result.
But it's That's inconsistent. It. It's beer and wine, but not right. liquor. So it's like... You can be that kind of drunk, but not
yeah.
the liquor.
Not
drunk.
The kind that,
that
makes
is
me
such
funny.
Bullshit. Yeah, right. This like beer, wine, or liquor. It's yeah. like, are you fucking kidding me? Like it's all alcohol. It's all the same thing.
My proposal is that outside of every church, we put a thwomp, and it comes down if you want to go to the bar, stops you from going there.
I do like want there to be like, hey, for like a year, we're just gonna go through the law books and just take shit out.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like let's just clean. We gotta do a clean. Remember when like in old, I guess I'm old. In like Windows computers, you would have to defrag.
Yeah.
You would have to defrag it. Let's defrag the law.
Defrag the police.
I don't know what this means. What
are
does
you
this
that
mean?
Young?
Yeah. Oh my god.
You don't know what defragging a hard drive is?
I'm a sprightly 30 years old. I do not know what this means.
I don't even know
you
why.
You had to watch like little lines move across your computer, and it was like freeing up space somehow.
Also, we had MacBooks.
Oh, they never okay. did it on Mac.
MacBooks. Yeah,
yeah, Mac defragged itself. all right, I think we have to wrap it up. Can we give it up for this amazing panel, please? Glo, do you... Anything that you'd like to plug?
Oh, yeah, I'm on a show called Abolish Everything. a couple times I yell at this dork guy that hosts it. That's it.
And also watch The Chair Company on HBO
Max. And The Chair
Max.
Company.
Glo is very
yeah,
funny on the show.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Tim, what would you like to plug?
Subscribe to The New York Groove, nygroove.nyc. We do local, fun, and helpful journalism. And we have a live show at Caveat on March 3rd, where New York Groove Live, where we just kind of... we talk about our reporting and bring on guests and fun stuff. So
great
like
local
this,
journalism
site.
Yeah. Yeah. Chandler?
I host a show called Abolish Everything that streams on Nebula. The season premiere just came out today. And it's a lot of fun, although in a couple of episodes, this belligerent woman yells at me.
All right,
I already plugged that. I already plugged that.
Let's give it
and
up.
And also watch The Chair Company on HBO, which I'm not on, but Glo is.
Give it up for Chandler, Dean, Tim, Donnelly, and Glo Tavares. I'm Charlie Todd.
I'm Cody Lindquist.
Come, it looks like we're off next month, but come see our show in March yeah. and subscribe to our podcast. Follow us on Instagram. And please remember to
vote
in
midterm
elections. Thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks Woo! For coming out. And we'll be at the bar across the street at the Winslow.
Except
come say hi.
Change is hard. Everything's bad and it's getting worse, but not in my backyard.
UCB, thank you so much for coming out to Not in My Backyard.